Gonna break it down, break it down, break it down. Gonna break it down, break it down, break it down. What up, what up, what up? We're back. Commentary, Intellectual Black Versation, episode number 5. We're on episode 5. That's crazy. We've got 2/3 done. And here we go with 3 with the full team. Mm-hmm. So what's up, Shot in the building, Shotzilla?
Man,
Shotisms.
God shines through. The Most High shines through. The universe shines through. That's all I'm saying right now.
Yeah. B, what up? What up?
Man, y'all know me.
I'll be right back.
Staying out the way, but in the way.
S-O-T-W.
Yeah.
Stay out the way. Yeah, we had a fun episode coming today, but given everything that's going on in the community right now, and not even the community, just across the nation and the world, really. There have been stands of solidarity for us, Black people, brown people, people of color, whatever you call us. I call us Black people, brown people, whatever, due to the death of George Floyd, because he couldn't breathe.
Ain't that the narrative?
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, today I think that I'm going to speak on behalf of a lot of people, including my crew. I think we're tired. Mm-hmm. We're tired. Exhausted physically, mentally, financially. you name it. We're tired. You know. We are, we're tired. B, you're speaking on behalf of many right now, many Black women, many mental health advocates and people. Where are you right now? How you feeling?
I'm tired. Like, and it's not even like it is a physical tired. I will say that. But I'm emotionally like drained and just exhausted. As a Black woman, I'm tired of us having to bury Black men.
Yeah.
As a Black mother, I'm tired of us having to bury our Black sons. I'm tired of having to explain to my white friends and coworkers why I'm so tired of these things. I'm tired. Like I'm exhausted mentally. I don't even know. That's just being 100% honest. You know, I had a friend who happens to be a police officer text me yesterday, and he was like, "I've been worried about you and just how all of this is affecting your mental health." And I didn't even have like an answer because I don't even know. I don't even know. I'm just too tired to even figure it out. It's exhausting.
Right.
We're tired. We are fucking tired.
Yeah. I mean, Shad, where you at, brother? We've been I've connected with both of you on the internets, but I know me and you we've had some conversations in the DM and on text. So
yeah, so I gotta be honest, folks and lady, of course, lady and folks. I had like wrote down some notes. It's a lot of notes. It's a lot of notes right here. A lot of fucking notes, man. But I'm like you, AI man. After you know, we're in a state of like we just live in the state of late breaking news. And just when you kind of feel like you have somewhat of a grasp of what's going on, and I'm saying this as a Black man, as the brothers who are in this room, just when you feel like you have kind of a hold on anything, it's like, bow, you know what I'm saying? It's something else. So I'm kind of it's stuff that I wanted to talk about, but I kind of feel like I just got kicked in the chest. Because as a spiritual person, and I won't go into too much of my spirituality on this show because it's not for social media nor any stream or whatnot. But as a spiritual person, I feel like mad deflated.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I thought about, AI, when I was texting you on, I think one of the things I sent you, man, which unfortunately, it was niggas nigging. I thought about how this whole situation, just the collective, it's like a collective of explosions. And I hope this makes sense. It's like escalating explosions. Usually something hits a point and it just explodes and the smoke clears and you kind of figure it out. But this kind of just seems like explosion. Okay. Another explosion. Okay. Another explosion. And I mean, it's just like, it's very taxing. My sleep patterns have been, what sleep? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, for real. And I mean, that's where I am. But yet and still, you know, from the years and years and years of experience I've had with this from the late 80s, obviously, you know, dealing with Ferguson, and heavy involvement with that. I mean, I'm just looking at it like, damn, did I ever get a chance? And not just me, but us, did we ever get a chance to like address our, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder from things we dealt with prior to this?
Nope.
You know what I mean? So I feel Harlem and UAI and D, I almost think that using the word tired is an understatement. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't even know what the fuck this is.
It's a traumatic. Yeah. Didn't mean to cut you there, but
no, go ahead, please jump in.
It's definitely traumatic, man. I think that, not that this has never come across me before, but this weekend was the first weekend that I really sat down and thought and was like, yo, it's time to open up the floor with my son.
Oh man.
You know, man. My son will be 11 next Tuesday, the 9th, June.
God damn it. I shouldn't even say God damn it to that. I should be like, congratulations, celebrate, so on and so forth. But it's just like the state of this country right now, like, man, my son stays in Atlanta, as you know. I'm getting a call Saturday night. I'm knocked out. My old bird hitting me up like at 1 a.m. You know, I don't even know why she up. I ain't gonna ask. She grown. But like, Mama, what's up? You know, and you talk to your son, you know, he on the scene. I'm like, on the scene? What you talking about? And I hadn't known, or whatever night that was, I hadn't known that in Atlanta, a bunch of stuff, you know, they was doing the, you know, the stuff to the CNN building and all of that. So like about 2 a.m. here, so that's 3 a.m. in Atlanta. I'm talking to my son, like, yo, son, what's up? This, that, and the third. And not going into my personals, but my son know how to move. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
He was just kind of like, ah, dad, I'm like, all right, son, I know. I said, how far away are you? And he was like, oh, it's like 8 blocks away from my apartment. I said, you good? Yeah. You good, good? Yeah. You know, that's, we speak in code, you know. So, and he was just chilling. But once again, my heart is just like, you know, just like it is for everybody else, you know? So it's crazy.
Yeah. B, you have a teenage son. So Rashad's son is actually, he's in his 20s now, right?
Yeah, 21.
Yeah. My son is 11. Your son is 16,
15.
So we kind of got a spectrum here. We got three different spaces, middle school, college, and high school.
Right. And my son has been, like, he's been out there with me. He's been on the front line with me. And I think it's good for him. Today we actually, well, both days that we've been out in the daytime, we've had the little one with us as well. But I think for my oldest son, it's good for him to see it because he sees it from both ends of the spectrum. And I say that because, number one, he has a mother who is mixed. I'm black and I'm white. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but both of my parents were police officers. I have friends who are police officers. At one point, my son said that he wanted to be a police officer. But now I think he's shifting, and he's just as angry as we are, and with good reason, because, you know, you look at him and he doesn't look like a little boy. He looks like a grown man. And the police could really care less. You know, we know that from Tamir Rice. He was 12. Mm-hmm. So I'm terrified as a mom of two black boys, because I look at my little baby who is 2, and I know that one day he's going to grow up and they're going to fear him like they fear every other black man just because he's black. So I think my son is angry. Like, he constantly plays NWA, fuck the police, and he means it.
Trending right now, actually.
Yeah, he feels it. Like, he feels it. And I just allow him to express that anger. But like I said, black mothers are tired of burying their black sons, period. We sick of it. So I just, you know, wherever he wants to take it, if he wants to go with me, I'll allow him to do that. Because he has to be able to express himself, and he could be a catalyst for change for people his age. So it's definitely something that I feel he deserves to be out there as well. But it's tough though. It's definitely tough because I worry about him.
Right.
My anxiety when it comes to him is so bad. Like the other day he was like, "Mom, I just, you know, can I walk to 7-Eleven?" And I'm just like, "Turn your location on. I got to be able to see you. I need to know where you are." Like, my anxiety is just that bad when it comes to not only my son, but to the black men that are around me.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You said something in there that that kind of struck something in me. And you said that at one point in time, your son was, you know, thinking about following the career, you know, pursuit of a police officer, right? Mm-hmm. And I think don't matter what your race is, if you grew up in America, you know, you play cops and robbers or
right.
whatever, you're like, "Oh, what you gonna do? I want to be a police officer, a firefighter," right? I remember in elementary school, I'm a product of the Hazelwood School District.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Hazelwood used to be epic. I don't know what them boys and girls have done to it now, but man, when I was in that thing, hey, we produced some heat. So shout out to Hazelwood Central, mm-hmm. particularly. But I remember in elementary school, we had Officer Friendly. He would come to the school and talk to you about crime and dare and how the police are your friend, and you know, yeah. and you in first, second, third grade, you know, y'all, yeah, the police cool, they are a friend, they came, they gave us crayons and donut, and you're like, okay. And somewhere around 12-13, you realize, you know, depending, this is purely on where you grew up, let me say that. Mm-hmm. This is going to be geographic.
Yeah.
But somewhere around whatever age, for me 12-13, you realize that that wasn't real what they was talking to you about.
Right.
And you kind of, you know, you go through this thing, and you know, your experience from, because at the time I grew up in Florissant, it was probably about 50-50 where I was at. So my experiences are a lot different. I still keep up with some of the people, you know, white people that I grew up with in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane to even see now how our experiences are so different. I have a friend, I'm not going to shout him out by name, but he listens and he knows who he is. Our dads actually used to work together. He grew up right down the street from me. They were in the same union. They were both electricians. And me and this dude knew each other. We was like 7-8 years old. And I'm not going to call him a conservative. I'm not going to call him a liberal. But I still talk to him. And our experiences are very different. Growing up in the same neighborhood, dads that worked in the same place. My father actually was above his dad.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
and to know that our experiences with law enforcement and just life in general, legislation, all those things is so different is just insane to me. To you two, I ask, when did you realize that what you were initially being fed didn't really taste like it was kind of like steak, right? You know, when you start eating steaks, bro, you got to get you a T-bone.
Right.
Oh man, I eat T-bones, bro. You eat T-bone. Everybody had T-bones, right?
Right.
Then you started, you know, really becoming a connoisseur of sorts of steak. And you're like, man, this all, man, you got to eat the filet now, right? The filet is the one. Then, nah, bro, the ribeye. You know what I'm saying? Like, when did you figure out that you were eating that flank steak? and it wasn't that joint.
Well, I'm like, Harlem, you want to go first?
Like I said, I was raised, my mom was a police officer and so was my dad. My stepdad was too.
Okay.
My stepfather is probably one of the most infamous St. Louis, one of the most infamous St. Louis city cops still to this day. And he's passed away. He had been not a police officer for about almost 20 years when he passed away a couple years ago, but still he was a dirty ass cop.
He was on training day out here.
Like, he was dirty. Like, for real, for real. You speak his name and motherfuckers like, okay. But even still, I still saw the good in police officers because my daddy was a good cop.
Right.
My daddy was a good cop. You know, when he died, he got full honors. People was hurt. Even when Darren Wilson did what he did to Mike Brown, I still was on the fence. Like, I still was on the fence because there's, like, the blue was always a part of my life.
Right.
So it was never a time where it wasn't like, you know, the police was, I saw any type of injustice growing up. I mean, I'm from University City. Kind of sheltered a little bit. As I got older, you know, I started going and venturing out more, but I still had hope in the humanity. Even hearing stories from my mom about, like, things that would happen within the department that was, like, some shady shit. And I've written about this when I used to write for The World publicly.
I forgot about that.
I talked about it in an article before, you know, getting stories from my mom and things like that. But I still, I'm like, nah, the police are there to serve and protect. When you need them, you call them. I don't feel like that no more. After we've seen time after time after time of innocent Black men and women being killed in their own homes, being shot and then saying, oh, I thought I tased you. With, you know, their hands up and they still shoot them. Now it's like, you know, y'all want to put y'all knees on our necks. Y'all been had y'all knees on our necks. So I've literally, even as a woman who deals with people who have mental illnesses, and, you know, when someone tells you that they're going to commit suicide, you're technically supposed to call the police. Mm-hmm. I pull up before I have the police pull up. Period.
Yeah.
I'll go and try to save a life before I believe that the police are going to go and do their job. And again, that's not to say that all police are bad, because I know some really, really good ones. Right. And, you know, the fact that they wear blue doesn't make them any less Black. But still in all, like, I've had a police officer to literally save my life at one point in time. So I will always, you know, be thankful and commend police for the work that they do when they do it.
Right.
But I don't fuck with the police.
That's like definitely an interesting perspective, because, you know, you've been on a lot of different sides of the spectrum, right?
Blue blood technically runs through my veins because my parents were the police.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Literally.
Wow.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Nope.
That's wild.
I wouldn't call him to save my life if my life depended on it.
Where you at, Sean?
Man, I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm kind of taken aback by what she's saying, because, I mean, I learn something new every time I'm on this show, you know what I mean?
Likewise.
And I mean, I felt that, you know what I mean? Like, I would say with me, you know, it's funny, because I was thinking back to, like, 1983, 1984, maybe 85, like, the first time it was just like, you know, the question was, are cops on some BS? We were kids, of course, growing up in O'Fallon Park area. And if you would get in trouble, I don't know if this used to happen to y'all, but they'd be like, you know, you're going to get a whooping and we're going to call the police on you. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to, you know, you'd be crying and shit because of the police. And it's funny because I was thinking about what was the inception point of me even thinking like that? You know what I'm saying? As a kid.
Yeah, real.
Then to kind of fast forward, it was a situation. You know, I come from a family that had, were, you know, a lot of extracurricular activities. You know what I'm saying? So you just kind of, you never knew. But, well, my extended family, but my immediate family was kind of in the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I say that to say this. I remember it was a time that the police had to come to our house. And I think I was maybe like seven or eight. And just the fact that my mother had told me, well, you know, Rashad, my nickname's Shoddy, so she called me Shoddy. So she was like, Shoddy, you fell asleep and the police came. And I was like frightened. And I was, well, Mama, what happened? Oh, well, they came and the female police officer gave you a kiss on the cheek and said you was cute. And that shit, and it frightened me though, because even back then, like I really am drawing a blank, but it's like at some point it was like the cops are bad and they're gonna get you. And if we play cops and robbers, everybody wanted to be a robber. You know what I'm saying? So it was like robbers and robbers.
Everybody was the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. So as far as like to kind of stay on point with the question you're asking, I would say probably, you know, like the early mid 80s is when it was like I don't even remember ever hearing that the cops were good guys. You know what I'm saying? But just recognizing that I had some type of fear, you know, of police. And then, you know, going into the 90s is when I started having all kind of situations, we'll just say, that were very interesting. And on my path, it started to kind of mold me a certain way. I will jump and say this. Where I am now, I'll be honest with you. I don't hate police if police are police. I do recognize that, at least from the history and the knowledge that, you know, we used to do, that policing actually was for slavery. You know what I'm saying? And for slaves or whatnot back in the day. But that's a whole nother story. But now, you know, I'll go as far as saying something unpopular. As a tax-paying citizen, and there's power in that, by the way, even though it don't seem like it. You know, if an officer, if they doing a damn job, you know, you stay out my way, I stay out of yours. But it's the race soldiers that I have a great disdain towards. The race soldiers who have the badge. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the story start for me, you know. But I'll be honest, I can't say, not that it's about if I disagree or agree with what Harlem is saying, but I gotta say I feel that too. Like, it's a situation, if we could police ourselves, that would be the best, before you have to include the blue bloods, because the blue bloods, what I've learned, rather, I'm like, hey, overall, I ain't got no problem with police. I got a problem with race soldiers, because I make sure I identify what my problem is and who it's with.
Mm-hmm.
I still, and I can even be contradicting myself, and that's fine. I'm emotional. but truthfully, I am 100% for us policing ourselves, policing our communities. And when I say us, I mean Black people. I mean the gods and the goddesses, if you really want to know what I mean. Yeah. But in this country, I get it. But I don't fuck with race soldiers, and I don't fuck with those who support race soldiers for a butter biscuit either.
I'm with you, you know, and it's crazy how you can ask 10 different Black people the same question, and you'll get 10 different answers.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the bigger picture is, though, that we're talking a lot about law enforcement, but this is not just a law enforcement thing. This is a buildup of so many different things over time. This is, you know, people having issues at their place of work. This is people having, you know, been essentially going into a bank and receiving a higher interest rate on a home. You know, this is right. The young lady, the Black lady, did the experiment on LinkedIn that she put the exact same credentials and changed her name and received 30% more hitbacks on her white resume than her Black one. You know, this
of course.
Is all of those things. Like, this is everything built up, redlining. And you know, why we are talking about law enforcement, because George Floyd, Sandra Bland, Philando Castile, Mike Brown, I can go on and it'll take 30 minutes. They're the reason that we're here.
Right.
And it's just now, you know, what did Will Smith say? Racism didn't get worse. It just started being recorded, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's a lot that's not recorded. You know, you in that car dealership or going for that home loan and receiving a higher interest rate, like I said, that's not recorded. You going through issues of not being able to be promoted because you're not a part of the fraternity. Mm. You know, these are all things, right?
Yep.
And this was, like I said, this was a volcanic explosion. It was just bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. And there was a few small eruptions. 2020 has been a historic year by far.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, I mean, I've seen a lot of these things for the first time in my life.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we've lived through Reagan and Bushes and a whole lot of other people, you know, but this is something far different than I've ever seen. And maybe that's because of the emergence of social media,
mm-hmm.
Maybe technology, who knows, you know. I can say, you know, and I hate to speak on you all's behalf on this, but right, we don't have all the answers.
Right.
Where is the space that you all see the opportunity to begin, in your opinion, to move in a better direction, so that, you know, we are, I mean, like I said, this is more than just getting pulled over and a knee on your neck, and this is years and years of oppression,
mm-hmm.
that have finally taken off.
Oh yeah,
where are you all at? Like, where do you see the space for advancement?
Burn it the fuck down and start over. Y'all follow me on social media. Man. Burn it all the fuck down and start over. That's,
you know,
the
crazy thing about your analogy, right? Even though it's not an analogy per se, mm-hmm. You know, there used to be fires in the Amazon like every 4 or 5 years. And there would be acres and acres and acres of land that would burn down and recreate this and come back as this beautiful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, that's insane, right? To know that land, because it's the earth,
yeah,
can do that sort of thing, right? It goes completely to ashes and comes back beautifully, but it burns down again. You know what I'm saying? But it continues to reemerge as this thing of beauty, this scene of beauty, just aesthetically pleasing, right? And I feel you, B, you know.
Well, you know, sticking to that, science has proven that, you know, certain events happen where the Earth is, whether it was the Ice Age, whether it was the dinosaurs and then this meteor, and then the world just continues to evolve, right? Burn this shit down. Everything that they have built on our backs, burn it the fuck down. It wasn't theirs to begin with. It wasn't. And I know that that's extreme. And people will say that I'm insisting that people riot and all of that type of shit. No, that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But really, we literally have to rebuild from the ground up. You know, I think it was yesterday was the anniversary of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Burn it the fuck down. I said what I said. And start over.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, we're going to We have the ability right now in this generation and the generation that we are raising to change the narrative so that shit like this does not continue to happen time and time again. Mm-hmm. If we don't stand up and we don't stop spending our money with them, if we don't stop allowing their bad behavior to continue, where we don't call the shit out when we are in positions of power, it's going to continue. It's going to fucking continue. We have the ability to stop it. We cannot change privilege because black, white, pink, purple, privilege is privilege.
Right.
I don't care what nobody says. Yeah, white privilege might be a little bit different, but privilege is privilege. And there is a whole lot of privilege as black people that's real quiet right now. Real silent. I don't hear you. What'd you say?
Yeah.
So you're not black.
Shout out to Don Lemon.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out. You're not black. You look black to me. Mm. Then white people see you as black.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't no different than a house nigga. Period.
Mm.
My demographic tells me that I'm supposed to identify as white because technically my father is white. Fuck that, I'm a black woman.
Word.
The shit has to stop.
You done had your moments, cuz.
I'm definitely a Negro. Let's be clear. Okay.
Hey, y'all didn't know B used to throw hands back in the day.
Yeah, it has to stop. My son is raised a little bit more privileged than some of his cohorts in St. Louis Public.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make you no better, son. No. Don't make you no better.
Yeah.
Burn it the fuck down.
Mm. Well, if I was, I got to do this voice. If I was Harlem B, if I was like her PR agent, I would say, Daryl, cut the tape.
cut the tape.
Yeah. Y'all wild.
But that's very powerful, and you know, I gotta be honest, man. I like I said, I had notes and everything, and I wanted to be as politically correct as I've gotten older. Anybody who know my history know I don't be talking shit when I say Google me. You can research me. You can go through my Facebook. You can go through my Instagram. You'll see what I was a part of. You'll see what I was involved in. Yes, I've been locked up for no reason, and I honestly was locked up for no reason. You know. Things being like, I was locked up for no reason. If you don't consider doing a crime, or no, seriously, been through it all. And at my old age, they say you it's better to. Well, I won't say the full joke because we have a lady in the room, but walk down the hill instead of run. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember that. If you don't, go watch the movie Colors, and it's in the movie Colors, and you'll see.
I'm younger than you.
Huh? You said you're younger than me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you was older. You was alive when Colors came out, right?
I've never seen it.
What? Oh, boy, you got to go check it out. So there's a joke at the end about some sheep and running down a hill and walking down the hill. it'll make sense. But what I will say is this. I do feel, I know the science behind build and destroy. Mm-hmm. That's the nature. That's just nature. Many civilizations have been built, destroyed, and rebuilt. I'll be honest, like with the episodes of Niggas Niggin, I do have issue with some of the things that I saw burning. But I got to be real with you. I think Harlem said it best. It's like when she spoke on, and I stand by it. So it ain't like if the government see this, it was like, nah, it was all her. No, I stand with her. Where it was just like, and I'll just flip it. What we target as far as like bringing destruction, bringing an end to physically, literally, you know, be it actual arson, be it financially, be it whatever, hit this shit that represents control, so on and so forth, these ideologies and so on. And I'm keeping it PG, but I do agree with that. Now, as far as I want to take a little trip, do I have the permission, AI, to, I want to go back to 2016. You mind?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay. So I say I remember being out in Ferguson when the ATM was still on the Quick Trip lot and Quick Trip was burning, and being personally told, along with some other people and some name, you know, I won't say any names on here, but we were being told, we'll blow your motherfucking head off if you touch this ATM. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. In the rage, boy. So of course we all had words, but eventually they came and got the ATM, but they let Quick Trip burn down. Wow. Forgive me, because I'm kind of just, you know. I remember out there, that was like one of the first things that really stood out to me. Like they don't even give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is part, excuse my language if you got children in the background. They don't even give a care. What I recognized too is that I saw Crips and Bloods, you know, I think it was some GDs, whoever, you know, Vice, whatever. They were teaming up to protect the black businesses, you know, because they recognized that it was like some agent provocateurs, mm-hmm, that were out there just doing some stuff. And I remember, I love seeing that. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was a big fan of anything that's like establishment, anything that I felt like, oh, these are businesses, so on and so forth, that controls us. You know, they probably have money from everything, you know, good boy money, you know what that means, and all of that stuff. Burn it down, but protect our businesses. And we continue to build our businesses, and from the ashes, we build more of ours. We get into buying land. We get into, you know, just really going a step beyond protesting, if you follow me. Mm-hmm. That's 2016. I'll be honest, and I didn't really want to go here tonight. I'm going to go here a little bit. I stayed out there for about 3 more years, and I saw the mentality shrink. But still, mm-hmm, people doing the work. But then it became unpopular, you know, and I'm speaking to us. So here we are again. Burn it down. Move this shit out the way. At this point, I'm seeing everything go. On one end, I'm like, yeah. When systematic racism, I put this, or systemic, whatever you want to say, racism is met with total rage, you cannot dictate, you cannot predict what will come of it. All you can do is move forward. With that, one of my biggest problems is that, and forgive me, I'm going in the code a little bit, just when I see people who are not from the neighborhoods, when I see people who are not representing the culture for real, when I see people who do not share the mindset of Harlem, of AI, of D, of myself, doing these things and then vamoosing. Now, we're left with whatever finna be next. And it's finna be a next. Or it's gonna be a next. I'm all for the build and destroy. I put a pin in it. I'm all for the build and destroy. But this time around, and I'm with you, Harlem, I'm with you, AI. Like, and I mean that sincerely. And Daryl, this time when we build, we from the ashes, from that chaos energy, which is not a bad thing if you know how to transform it. When we build this time, and we ain't got no choice, it's for keeps. And it's not even about being, oh, this is popular until Yo Gotti drop another album or whatever the fuck people get distracted by. But it is now a lifestyle. Because I do want to say this. Donald Duck just declared war. For real war. So motherfuckers who want to be, what was I calling niggas the other day, man? You want to be protest fresh and COVID cute? This ain't it, player. These protests and the next moves are not going to be sponsored by Jordan. This is serious business. This is, with all due respect, Harlem, because I know I can, I know you on point. But it's at the point now that nobody can tell you what to do, but moving forward, you need some official brothers and sisters around you at this point because you that thorough. And not niggas who going to be doing the hot dance and the twerking in front of the police and all this other weirdo shit. This is the building point. We all in. I see cats, no disrespect to anybody. I see cats, you know, throwing day parties and all of this stuff and just at this, and that's cool, but we're really moving to a point where entertainment and all of that shit's gonna come to a cease, and it's really gonna be about building, like Harlem said, on all levels, even from how we move as a unit, the fact we need to move as a unit, the fact that we need to, and I won't speak too openly about it on here, but there's some eradication measures that we have to take within ourselves or with ourselves to make sure that what we need to do and have to do, because our survival is based on it now, is done physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually. Like, that's where we at. I'm sorry for this loaded statement.
All right, fine, brother.
Speaking from my heart.
Yeah, one job. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. But no, but see, and here's the thing, and I got to say this, and it ain't because I'm trying to get some tacos from Harlem that I ain't going to never get or nothing like that. But what it is, though.
I told you, Alan.
Tomorrow's Tuesday, yo.
Right. Right. She did say it. Nah, man. You know we love you, man. But here's the thing, and I have to say this, and I'm saying this to my black brothers, and I'm gonna try not to cry, but if somebody was to say, Rashad, what you gotta say to the sisters? I don't have to say shit to the sisters except, man, I salute y'all. Man, can I carry you on my back? Can I cut your grass? Can I do whatever? Because our sisters, man, I ain't got into it with Hotep Hustlers and everybody Rashad, with what I'm about to say.
Say less, Rashad. Say less.
Dude,
say less.
The sisters are the warriors. They the warriors. They are the warriors. They are, I'll use the term frontlining. They are, and they have been before this even started. We talking about months and years and all of that stuff. And so I'll say less, you know, I don't want niggas knocking at y'all doors, but I want to take this time to say, brothers, We are here to protect our sisters. We are here to stand next to them. And to be honest with you, when it, the cracking action, stand in front of them. I get it. You niggas want to be COVID cute and protest fresh and all that. I want some new Jordans too. But we don't supposed to be leaning up against our cause when our sisters are risking their lives. And I ain't saying this for no pussy. Trust me, I call up old Betty. No, I'm just kidding. But
red door perfume.
Oh shit. But seriously, from the heart, man. The sisters is on it. Brothers. And I ain't speaking to nobody in this room who listen to this podcast, right? But come on, y'all. Come on. And I'm being very PG. Ask Daryl. He probably like, damn, Rashad is being very PG.
Yeah, I was going to pull D in just for – I was actually going to give D the final thought, man. He's been quiet this episode. So
before you do that, sticking to speaking about women in the fight and the sisters, have y'all seen the video of the female Fort Lauderdale cop?
Yeah, got old boy together.
We got to salute that queen.
I didn't see that.
I'll send it to you. We got to salute her.
Yeah.
Because she got him together.
Yeah.
There is a still photo of her that I shared on my Instagram, on my story. That's going to be iconic. Okay. It's the photo of her, like, checking the shit out of him. That's going to be iconic. He put his hands on a black female protester who was already kneeling down.
Hands up, kneeling down.
Yeah, she had her hands up, kneeling down, and a white male police officer pushed her down. That sister jumped into action real quick.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
So we definitely got to salute her and protect her at all costs, because what I know firsthand is that, number one, female police officers have it rough anyway within the department. They already are targeted, and to be a black female police officer in this racially and chauvinistic driven society, salute that sister.
Yeah.
Definitely salute her.
For about the last 10 or 15 minutes, I've been deviating from the camera in front of me and kind of looking off. There's a reason. St. Louis City PD is currently advancing on protesters downtown. I'm watching a watch party on Facebook. So I'm kind of I'm listening to you all.
Nah, it's all good.
Deviating.
It's about to get ugly. And yeah,
well, if
I'm going on back outside when we get off of here.
Yeah, I'll share this with y'all if y'all want to check it.
Okay.
But yeah, the police are currently advancing on protesters in downtown St. Louis. So,
yeah, once we're done, I'm going back outside.
D, how you doing today, brother? You're gonna be our Russell Simmons for the evening, man.
I mean, I just want to give a shout out to all the protesters looting, putting in that work, showing that black people are not lazy. That's all I wanted to say.
Nigga, you say less. You about to get everybody booked.
Please say less. No. Don't say less. Just say no more.
I don't know if y'all heard the episode, the scenario. Akbar X came in and said that, you know, we need to support them because for that mother going back to get that matching end table, for that main table she got, shows how much that she was working for what she needed to be. So that's my last words.
Oh, you crazy, man. Come on.
No, I'm trying to lighten it up some, though. I'm just trying
It was more white people stealing than the black folks, because everybody saw the white lady tiptoeing up out of there with all them lamps.
Yeah. Oh, no, one person in Philly came up there with they van for work with their logo on and everything.
Because how you do it.
But no, black people are ignorant, though. So they recording. They zoom in on the company.
Right. real quick, though. I gotta salute the brothers and sisters because they been out there. They been on it. Like,
Let's zoom in. I gotta give Roy Woods Jr. said it best. He said we may need to put the cell phone in the Black History Month calendar for Black History Month people that help us out in the movement, or maybe make a cell phone statue because they might did it just as much as Martin Luther King. He said,
yeah. Yeah, man.
Think about it, dude. Think about this. Back in the Rodney King rise in 91, 92, you don't look at really go off what you saw on CNN.
That's true.
Local NBC, mm-hmm. CBS, and maybe some cats you may have found out a couple of years later. You heard some people tell some stories. Right. But now you're getting it live. Live, literally live.
I mean, but it wasn't by chance that his beating was recorded either, though.
Nah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was somebody. That was somebody in a crib.
Yeah.
With the camera. Yeah. That was actually, that was a white family, too. That's the crazy part you don't know.
Yeah. But
supposedly,
yeah.
Allegedly, a couple setting up some other, something else going on. Yeah. And then they heard that. No, I'm dead serious. That's the whole demo. That they was finna film some with them and then heard that and then he just switched it around. No bullshit.
Damn.
That's the story. No, real talk. That's the, I don't know if that's legend.
So one beating for another, basically.
Right. Yeah, they ain't get started.
No. Quick sidebar. Cut the tape. No, quick sidebar. Something that's always been ironic to me is that D touched on the fact that, you know, social media is popping, so you're seeing everything in firsthand right now. I remember being in Ferguson and downtown and seeing things firsthand and then hearing the media say, yeah, such and such just happened. You're like, wait, no. You're like, no, it didn't.
Right.
When did that happen?
right.
Where?
You know what was scary, though, just real quick before we go back? When Ferguson, man, especially them first nights before it turned into a block party, they used to have something they put in the air and it would cut off, like, all everything. Your phone wouldn't work. You couldn't call nobody. Yeah. You couldn't get on social media and all of that stuff. The blackouts, basically.
Yeah, that's FBI technology, man.
Yeah, and my brothers and sisters, be on the lookout for many things, but definitely that, man.
Also, shout out to the dope dealers bringing in shipments right now while all this is going on.
Why did we invite him again?
He was supposed to be Russell tonight. He was supposed to be Russell, man. He was supposed to give us the final word.
I was at the day party yesterday when I drove by. So
it was jumping from what I heard.
What party was going on?
There was a day party at Blue yesterday. Yeah. So look, we just gave him a free shout out. Yeah. Arthur,
hey, get it how you live. I'm gonna say to be politically correct, man. But I drove by that mug. I had to hit a U-turn. I said, "Damn, it was a line."
Thing was jumping, bro's cars parked all up.
And it was social distancing, so I want to say they weren't doing that when I drove by.
Bro, it was cars all up and down the street, bro.
Hey, get it how you live, man. Get it how you live. All right.
Girl, how old are you? Rubbing your eye like that.
Yeah, they had a long day, man. We are tired, B.
Yeah.
we tired. Burn it the fuck down.
Right.
We are tired.
Yes, burn it down.
Do you sincerely want to add anything?
No, on the real though, man. Good, this chill. Is a dope episode, man.
You got a haircut, D. Damn, bro.
I know.
Yeah, jealous.
He over there. He protests fresh, nigga.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
looking crazy.
Girl hasn't showed his face since we've been recording until today.
Right.
I didn't show myself to the end of this episode. I had myself off the video most of this time.
Police are releasing tear gas and some type of bombs into the street. Not bombs.
I told y'all there was tear gas in the back of the
tear gas. They're releasing it right now.
Tear gas cancer. Yeah.
Crowds are dispersing. Like this is happening real time right now.
But downtown
St. Louis right now.
We're downtown.
Let me see if I can see the street. They're at 18th and probably Olive. So over by the Enterprise Center, I'm going to assume.
About 10 minutes.
Over by Harris, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that information. Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up. We are tired. We're tired physically, emotionally, psychologically. This is a commentary episode 5.
Any parting words from everybody? I know Harlem, we know where she's staying.
Hey, I just want to, I do want to touch on something real quick, and this will be really quick. to anybody, black, brown, tan, whatever you are, don't judge the next man because he don't respond to the hurt like you do or what's going on outside. The truth of the matter is it takes everybody. Mm-hmm. And, everybody not built for what's happening outside, and that's okay. You know, because we need doctors. We need lawyers. We need black police officers. We need the guy that's in the food court that gives you that lesson. That, hey, brother, I remember I was out here in these streets and I did that. We need everybody, man.
Right.
Don't judge. And second part, I put this on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to go do it yourself, don't entice nobody else. Word. Don't get behind your keyboard. We need to go and do this. And if it was real, you ain't real. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So,
Carlos?
I think like I'm tired. I am mentally, physically, emotionally. But I do want to say to y'all, to all of the black men who are listening, I love y'all. I like y'all. I support y'all. I'm here. Normally I'm behind y'all, but in this particular case, I'm in front. We out here.
Say less, Roman.
Thank you.
This nigga watched the episode of Money and Violence, and that he's
No, we're gonna talk about that in a minute, man. We'll talk about that when we jump.
Yeah, but no, I'm here. I'm with y'all. I love y'all. I like y'all. And when all of this kicked off, all I could think of what would Darren Seals do? What would Darren say?
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he's continuing to rest in power. And you know, I feel like whenever we out there, he's with us. I know he would tell women to sit the fuck down, but we ain't doing that. We out here. And, you know, it is what it is, but y'all are not alone. Yeah. Again, I love y'all. I like y'all. And we got this. We gonna get through it, and we gonna burn it the fuck down.
We are resilient people.
So now I like to give my 15-minute dissertation. No, I'm just kidding.
Much love to everybody. Love to the black woman. The black woman is God. Love to the black man. The black man is God. Love to all humans, you know, of all colors, hence the word hue. Definitely D Seals. I come from that school. That's why I was laughing when she said he'd be like, hey, go sit your ass down, because that's exactly, you know what I mean? But God shines through. The Most High shines through. The universe shines through. To the protesters, be safe. To my A-likes, to the squad who watches this, call me. You know, if you need me, if I need to show up for the reasons I need to show up, I will. And I just show up anyway. keeping it PG. I want to say to our Caucasian allies, our Asian, whoever, protesting brings awareness. Definitely awareness is being brought to George Floyd and many, many just all this crazy shit, right? When we move forward beyond the protest is awareness. The second thing is action, and we're permanent action. And I know my brothers and sisters gonna have it on lock. We're gonna have it on lock physically, financially, emotionally, educationally, you know what I'm saying, spiritually, because we can't look back, shotgun to your back. But I will say this. While you rocking with us now during these protests, to all people outside of my people, we will be looking for you with step two. That's the best way I can code that shit here on commentary.
You heard it first, people. Real talk. We appreciate you all for tuning in. You can hit us. I think the email and everything is up right now, right? It's sad. Look, Daryl, he treats us so well, man. Daryl, give him.
We gotta get Daryl on an award.
It's
man.
It's commentary.
Common. Commentary.
Terry.
Because originally it was because common sense ain't common. I think
common exactly. sense ain't common.
But it's common. See, common and then Terry, T-A-R-Y, at gmail.com.
All right.
gmail.com. You can find us at Commentary Podcast on Facebook. I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
I'm
talk about the group. We got the group popping. People
got the group popping. Yeah.
And y'all can ask.
Shout out to you for that.
Ask Harlem directly what Say Less is. I want a whole bunch of brothers to jump in there and just ask Harlem what does Say Less mean. Just that.
Yeah, yeah. That's you got a new segment, Harlem. That's all you.
Oh no! What well, I missed? I missed something.
You know, hey, you, Alan, you didn't start some shit, man.
You got
to say less.
No. The Say Less segment.
The Say Less segment. Okay.
There we go. Boom.
Okay.
All right. I got to hear about this.
Hey, real talk. Y'all stay safe. You know, when I told you all from jump that we going to say some things that make you laugh, some things that make you cry. We going to, you know, piss you off and you know, make you feel like we love you at the same time. You never know what you'll hear here. Put a comma between those hears and here. And we appreciate you all. So more to come. Commentary episode number 5, Intellectual Black Versation. Shout out Shot. Shout out B. Yep. Daryl, we appreciate you, brother, for sure, man. You know, quarantine has brought this together like glue. So
yeah, I know. hey, it's better now than never.
Right. We are signing off. Y'all take it easy out there, for real. We'll talk to you.
Peace.